Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Now in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, is where I'd like to start to read. And we're just going to read a few verses here. Matthew 16, verse 13, it says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say I am?' Or 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' Or, you know, we know him as the Son of God, but he was also fully man. He was born. And so... So the disciples are replying to this question that Jesus asks, and you may want to ask yourself that question this morning. It's a good question for all of us to ask. I want you to know that when I read this recently, I stopped, even though, you know, when I talk to the Lord, I remove the title of pastor. I'm just a guy, okay? Now, and I talk to him as a my God, and I'm just a man who needs him, loves him. And I asked myself the question. I said, "Randy, who do you say Jesus is?" And it's good for me to continue to confess and profess and declare who he is and who he is to me. And so you may want to ask yourself that question, maybe this morning. Maybe sometime after church and you're thinking about, you know, I need to answer that question. And I don't want to answer it just flippantly and say, well, Jesus is, you know, the Son of God. But who do I really say he is? And if I do confess that, what in my life shows that I believe that? That's the follow-up question. So Jesus asked the disciples, he says, "Who do people say I am? Some say that you're John the Baptist. Others say you are Elijah. And others say Jeremiah. Or you're just one of the prophets." And so they kind of go through this list and conversation. And he said to them this question. Okay, that's what people, what our people are saying. "Who do you say that I am?" And he gets real personal with them. Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ. You're the Messiah. In other words, you've come to redeem the people, save the people. You are God's Son." Okay? He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, and he said, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood," in other words, your humanity, just your reasoning, "has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you." In other words, God's Spirit is at work in our life because he loves us. He is at work in our life revealing time and time again that to believe upon Christ, his only Son. You know, Scripture says in another place that we can look at creation. And because when we look at creation, it speaks of the Creator. And that now when we look at creation, we are without an excuse to believe in him. He says, "My Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And I tell you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he gave them a strict charge and said, "Do not tell anyone that I'm the Christ." At this point. These are kind of some puzzling verses, and I don't want to dive into all of them, but I want us to walk away with this, and if you're visiting this morning, maybe you can kind of just jump in midstream here with us. All of a sudden he tells Peter, you know, "I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So whatever you loose here on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. It causes me to begin to think about the Lord, what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is really, you know, Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray. And there's the part where, you know, it says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come here on earth so that things could be done here just like they are carried out in heaven. And now this correlation to what he's telling Peter, he's saying, listen, whatever you loose here on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind here on earth will be bound in heaven. I'm giving you the keys. Now, for you and I to have keys to something, we have been given a responsibility. We've been given a privilege. We have not been given entitlement, meaning that, well, we can just kind of come and go as our personal use. But you have been given something, keys. You know, when I go on a trip, and I'm traveling with people from my family, I always give them a spare key to the vehicle. I don't like to travel with just one. We went on a couple-day bike trip, and Dennis walked up to me with a spare key to his Harley. How many of you would like it? I still have it. No, I'm kidding. I just returned it the other day. You've been given a responsibility, and it also gives you access, right? The understanding is with a key, something is locked and something is unlocked, right? Certain things you lock. When you want access, you unlock them for different reasons, different purposes. And so we have this security. In our common day, we may not do everything with a key. We do things to provide security with a username and a password. So if Jesus were walking today, if he would have been in our time, he would have maybe used different wording than keys. He said, "I've given you the password and the username to my kingdom." Okay? And he goes on to say to Peter that whatever you loose on earth, you know, I had this concept and understanding of loosing. In other words, you know, freeing up, right? This whole loosing. And actually, it's a little off the mark on what the original text says. Loosening or loosing in this particular wording of Scripture is it talks about destroying something. Every once in a while, someone from the church will give me something they have canned at home. By the way, why do they call it canning when it's a jar? Yeah, I really don't understand that, but it, you know, we've canned some jam, and they hand me a jar. If you have an answer to that, you could actually tell me at another time. I would be interested in knowing that. So they take this jar, and I know heat is involved, and it's warm, and you put this, I think you just set the lid on, and as it cools, it creates this seal, right? Am I understanding this right? In simple forms, you know, just, and then they put this lid over it, because the lid, you know that one that you always take off like this, and it comes off and has a hole in it. It was just frustrating to me. I want to just open it. And then there's the times you open it and the thing's falling and it's on the floor. And you know, Murphy's Law. It's going to fall face down. So then there's this piece that's sealed and you have to pry it off. Are you supposed to use a utensil? Because I always just cut my thumb. Spoon. A broom? Oh, the ring. If you said a broom, I'm like, okay, I got to hear this. If you just go to the store, it's a little less complicated. It's just the lid on there, and you begin to turn that. There's this vacuum, and the top is kind of concaved, and you turn it. What happens? You hear that? Yeah, you guys are pretty good with sound effects. you turn that and you hear that pop, and it's you loosened it. You broke, you destroyed the seal. And this is the context that Jesus is talking about. He says, whatever you destroy, break the seal on. That you hear the... similar to that. He says, whatever you destroy the seal on, whatever you open up. Then he goes on to say, whatever you bind. The binding here in this original text, which we miss some of this, we just think, something you tie up. When he says binding here, he's talking about knitting, weaving, winding together. Whatever you bind, whatever you put together, it's one of these that has to do with destroying and building up, doesn't it? Weakening or loosening a seal, and now knitting together, weaving together something that's supposed to have strength, something that's supposed to hold, something that's supposed to stand. If we're to look at not just the words, but if we were to look at the original text, and I'm not giving you all the Greek words for this, but the context that it is in has to do with the context of making a request. So whatever you loosen, destroy by request, whatever you bind or weave together by request, by prayer, shall be done in heaven, which will happen here on earth. The message is about prayer. Now think about this. Just prior to this, he tells Peter, I'm changing your name to Rock, and upon this rock I will, build the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus here is talking about, for example, the gates of Jerusalem. Now, you know that there is a wall around the city. Many back in that time built a wall, to protect, to keep things in and to keep things out. And Jesus is saying here that the gates of hell, the gates of the city, will not prevail against the gospel. There will be a loosening of the gates. They are tried to be sealed up. But if you pray and loosen these gates, it will not prevail against the church, the ecclesia, the gospel. Now, I want you to understand the context. It wasn't about the gospel getting into the city. It was about the gospel and the preaching of the gospel in Jerusalem that was beginning to transform lives. That the gates of the city would not contain them, but the gospel will go out. They cannot keep it in. They cannot stop it from spreading. Are your prayers limited to just the room you pray in? If we loosen and bind in prayer, if we destroy, if we weave together things that God wants to do in and through our lives and in the lives of others or in a community, the gates of hell, the gates of the city, will not be able to contain it, destroy it. They will break open and they will not be able to hold the gospel in the ministry of Christ going out. It's interesting when you talk about the gates of the city, it's not just about a physical gate. Who sits at the gates of the city in the old times? It was the officials, right? It was kings, it was officials, it was political people, it was attorneys, it would be teachers of the law. All of these people at the gates of the city where people could come and bring their problems and look for a decision from them. All the way from, I have a wayward son who will not listen. He will not listen to me. And he stands in before the officials of the gates of the city, and the officials there at that day and that moment, they stone him to death. Obey your father. Because the deacons carry rocks in their pocket. And I'm kidding you. The gates of the city, the officials of a city, those who try to quiet what they don't agree with. They try to quiet and keep in control over uprisings, things that are different than them. You see this through the ministry of Jesus. They were always trying to trick him. They were scheming against him to shut him up. As they began to persecute the church, what happens? They begin to scatter. They begin to go abroad. The gates of hell will not prevail against the good news of Jesus Christ, the Father trying to reveal who he is and his love for people, for you in this room. Now, what if we as believers do not pray about the loosening and the binding? What if our prayers are just, Lord, you know, just give me health, which is not a bad request. Lord, and just, you know, help me financially, which I understand, you know, that's a real need. And Lord, you know, I'd really like to buy whatever. And, you know, yeah, bless the church. And, you know, thank you for your word. I read it today. You know, someone wrote about one of the scripture verses in the little book I turn, and, you know, and that's good. And so just want to tell you thanks. Or I need. What about the prayers that have to do with destroying a seal that tries to contain the gospel or some inhibition you have in your life about sharing the gospel, being who you're supposed to be? What about destroying the seal so that it can come out of your life? What about praying about the leaders, whether it's from the city, the county, the state, to the White House, to nationally, whatever it is? What about praying about loosening and destroying a seal that it goes against God? And what about praying and weaving and knitting together something that God has that will change the fabric of my life, my family, my community? What about praying about those things? Well, God, why don't you just... I have a responsibility. He's given me keys. He's given you keys to loosen and to bind. In prayer is the context, the original language, to make requests. Prayer. To bring about a change where I live. Don't complain to me. You can find a different audience. Don't complain to me about the politics of our nation. It doesn't mean that I'm in agreement with everything. Obviously not. But don't complain to me about it. If you haven't been on your knees in private, or walking in private, communicating with God with the loosening and binding principle of prayer that he has given you, don't complain. Don't complain about, well, you know, how come we just, you know, we've been growing as a church, but how come we don't see more? How come we don't see more? How come we... Where is your prayer for loosing and binding? You desire a work of the Spirit, but we must cooperate with what God has given us in a work of the Spirit and prayer. It is not just holding together an evangelistic event. That takes a lot of work. But that is not the work. The work is prayer. The works of ministry, it's the works of prayer. Understand, if you're going to a place of worship and it's just kind of empty and without, you know, meaning, you know, there's not a lot of move of the Holy Spirit. When we get together and there's meaningfulness and faith in the room, the Holy Spirit, God inhabits, he comes among his people. He will do different signs and wonders. And Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he wrote a church in Corinth and gave him instructions about orderly worship, how it's supposed to function. And he talks about when gifts of the Spirit show up, like tongues and interpretation. That is what you heard this morning. It may be strange or new to you, but you don't need to be weirded out about it. What we need to draw from it is two things. What did the message say? And secondly, wow, you mean the stuff that was written long ago? You mean God's the same today as he was back then, and he still does signs and wonders? And that he has Sparta, New Life, you, in mind to do this. You know, we always ask for a sign. Well, if God would just show up and, well, you don't get to always pick and choose the sign. But the message this morning has to do with prayer. The message that he gave me to share with you is on prayer. A specific kind of prayer. The kind of prayer that breaks a seal. That contains something or breaks the seal for the good to pour out. Knitting together a fabric, a weaving of his kingdom here on earth. And the gates and the officials and the committees and those who fight against the gospel will not be able to shut it down. We see this in the New Testament. We see it in the early church. We still hear of it in other places of the world where missionaries and churches and the gospel, they are estimating right now in Iran that there is about 1 million believers in Jesus Christ. There's a living day example. If our country should become so wayward where they would shut down buildings like this as places of worship, I want you to know it's not going to stop the church. Amen. See? On a personal level, you can say no to God, but it is not going to shut God down. But you and I need to be involved in prayer. And the requests that I mentioned as examples are not bad requests that we all make. But don't forget about the loosening and binding prayers. That his Spirit would move and his will would be done here on earth, in your life and through your life, as it's done in heaven.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.